What's your purpose? Do you know what your purpose is? Big questions, aren't they? And here's another question. What if my purpose clashes with your purpose? What if my purpose is to be happy, and your purpose is to be happy, but we both can't be happy because I want what you've got? What if my purpose is to be successful, and your purpose is to be successful, but we're both running in the same race? What if I want to make money, and you want to make money, but my making money depends on you losing money and me getting your money? What happens then? In fact, as so many in our interviews there, and probably so many in our streets, share the same almost hedonistic purpose, which is to be happy and to make those around us happy and to be successful. If that is what we're all trying to do, whose purpose kind of works out? Can anyone be sure that their purpose isn't going to suddenly be snatched away by another purpose trying to perform their purpose? And let's be honest, as we look back through history, we see, you know, dictators and multimillionaires and businessmen who decide, well, this is what they want to do, or they want to take over this bit of land, and one person's purpose completely runs railshod over another's. Whose purpose will prevail? Whose purpose will come through? Will anyone's? In fact, the guy who finished the movie there said, you know, well, all our purposes kind of end when your life ends. So is there any purpose that won't, as it were, be frustrated by death, not just by someone else's purpose? Is there a purpose that will really last? Is there a purpose that's guaranteed that you and I can somehow move on with and get on board with and get stuck into? And the message of Luke 24 is yes, there is a purpose that will last, that will come through, that is guaranteed, and will be seen out, and it's God's purpose. God's purpose and God's purposes always come through. Will you say that with me? I think we've got it up here on the screen. It's our first point. God's purposes always come through. Do you believe that? It's our first point this morning. God's purposes always come through. There's some proverbs that I've been looking at about God's purposes and our plans. And one of them says that many are plans in a man's heart, but it's the Lord's purposes that prevail. They always come through. And you and I get stuck, don't we? I find I get stuck sometimes, but that's because I'm not able always to work out the things I want worked out. I'd love to be able to fix the ceiling at Holland Road in 30 seconds flat, but I can't. And I get stuck, and I have to, you know, work along the schedules. But God always works his purposes out. They come through, they're sure, and they're good. That's the wonderful thing about God's purposes. They're good. They're motivated by love. Do you remember last week when we were talking about moving on with Jesus? We talked about how Jesus is always powerful and always loving. Do you remember that? Always powerful and always loving. And so God's purposes are always motivated by love. They're good purposes for his people. He wants what's good. And they're always able to be accomplished because he's powerful. And if you look in passage here in Luke 24, we see Jesus in verse 44. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms." Did Jesus tell them everything might be fulfilled about me in the prophets and the laws and the Psalms? No, he said everything must be, because the purposes of God, which are revealed in the Bible, the Word of God, must be fulfilled and worked out. That's why he does. He takes them through the Old Testament scriptures there, the law, the Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. That was the Hebrew Bible that they had at the time. But then what we have as the New Testament is described in the witnesses of the apostles, which is what we've also got in front of us there as well. So God's purposes are revealed in this way. So you might be asking, well, what are God's purposes revealed in the Bible? How would you sum up God's amazing purposes that are guaranteed to come through and be done? Well, they're summed up. In fact, one guy said it in the story. He said, I'm rooted in my Christian faith, and I want to do all I do for the glory of God, because God is glorious and is working things out for his glory. But that's one of his purposes. The other purpose, which is linked to it, is the saving of mankind. Because we have, remember the egg, we've fallen away from him, but he wants to save us, to get us to bounce back, to discover joy again. Him, because you and I, we look at the snow coming, just look out the window, isn't it fantastic? We look at the snow coming down and we get a buzz out of that. I don't know about you, but I know that the times when I get the biggest buzz in life are not when I'm looking in the mirror, but when I'm looking at the Grand Canyon, or I'm looking up at the stars, or I'm looking out at the snow. Because where we find joy is not by looking at ourselves, but by looking at something greater than us, bigger than us. That is where we find greatest joy. And God is the biggest, the greatest. And you and I discover our joy as we're saved back into a relationship where we can wonder at him. God is in the saving business. That's his purpose, is to bring people to himself. Look at the passage with me again in Luke 24, because we can see some of these being worked out here. First, in verse 36, Jesus comes to them, and what's the word that Jesus says to them right at the start? He says, peace. Peace be with you. Jesus came to bring peace. Peace between us and God. Shalom, wholeness. And maybe this morning you need to just hear that word, peace, from Jesus. He's come to bring peace, to save you out of your stress and your mess and your kind of worked up state. And this morning he wants to come and say, peace. That's what Jesus does. He comes with purposes like, isn't that great? And as we go on, we see he has a purpose not just to bring peace, but to bring life. And so they're startled and they're troubled, but they see they're startled and troubled because he was meant to be dead. He was meant to be dead, but Jesus steps in alive because he's conquered death. Jesus is the bringer of not just peace, but of life and eternal life, of victory over the grave. In fact, he's so alive, he's not just a ghost or anything like that. This is real resurrection facts recorded by Luke. And I love it where he talks about, just lost the page, here we go. He says, they're so amazed and they can't quite believe it. And he says, well, look, do you have anything to eat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish. It's that real, and it actually happened. So that the guys doesn't just say they gave him a piece of fish, but he said, oh no, it was a piece of broiled fish. One of Nicky Gumbel's friends, Nicky Gumbel's the guy who wrote the Alpha Course, came to Christ, came to believe that the things of the Bible were real because of the broiled fish. He said he just couldn't believe that anyone would make up broiled fish and go to that much level of detail at this point if it wasn't actually true. These are true events that are unfolding before our eyes. This is Jesus saving the world, conquering death for you and for me, for you and for me. For everyone, he's saving the world. He's bringing his salvation. In fact, Luke's gospel is a wonderful story. Right back from the shepherds, the angels coming to the shepherds and saying, today a savior will be born. All the way through until you've got story after story in Luke's gospel, which is full of this salvation theme of God. He's a rescuing God come to save his people. In fact, one time he meets this guy called Zacchaeus, who's a bit of a no good, nasty piece of work, who's always stealing and robbing things from people. And Jesus says, I want to come to your house, Zacchaeus. And he goes, and everyone's saying, what are you doing going to the house of a sinner, someone who doesn't do good things? And Jesus said, that's why I came. I came to save people. In fact, we got it up here on the screen, a verse that could, if you like, sum up not only Luke's gospel but the Bible. And it says this. It says Luke 19 verse 10. It says, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. That's why he came. That was his purpose. To seek and to save what was lost. And if you're here this morning and you're thinking, I feel a bit lost, a bit far from God, Jesus is coming after you this morning in love. He's got his hands outstretched. He's calling your name and saying, come back. I've come to save you. I've come to bring you peace. I've come to bring you life, eternal life. God is working his purposes out and it's glorious. He's saving people. He's bringing them back. And he bids us, look at him. Look at him, the Savior. In fact, do you ever find, maybe you can relate to this, they were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. And he said to them, why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your mind? Maybe that describes you this morning. Are you troubled with doubts rising in your mind? Jesus says, look at me. Look at my hands. And he holds out his nail-pierced hands, showing us that he died for us. He loved us so much, he died for us. And he said, don't be troubled. I don't know what you're facing at the moment right now. Maybe a financial difficulty or a relationship difficulty or something problem at work. And Jesus says, don't be troubled. Look, I love you that much. He looked at them, nail pierced for you and for I. And he doesn't just say, I died for you in that gesture, but he says, come and touch them, because he wants us to know he didn't just die for us. He didn't just conquer death. He didn't just conquer sin. He conquered death. He's alive. And so he bids us look at Jesus. What is occupying your gaze at the moment? And I hope it's not just the drum kit. You know, is it the problems? The building work? The things that are going to need tidying up after the service? The things that are waiting back home? The to-do list? What are the things that are occupying your gaze? What do you most often find yourself thinking about? Doubts and troubles arise in our mind when we look at the secondary things first, rather than the primary thing first. Jesus says, look at him. Some of you will know Mary Cruikshank, an older missionary lady. Can't get out to church now, but is an amazing woman of faith. And she had a sermon that meant a lot to her over the years that she showed me. And it talked about looking unto Jesus. And it said, look unto Jesus, not to your problems. Look unto Jesus, not to your successes. Look unto Jesus, not to your sin. Look unto Jesus, not to the difficulties. Look unto Jesus. Look unto Jesus. Keep gazing at him, and you'll find that doubts and troubles flee from your mind. Because he's the Savior. He is the conqueror who steps onto the scene here in the upper room. And he's here by his Spirit now. If you could see him, he's here, the conqueror, risen from death, conquering sin. And he comes in and says, I've done it. I've completed the work. I will complete my work. Everything written about me must be fulfilled. I will work out my purposes. If you've been reading through Hebrews 11, and I hope you have, and like I say, get the bookmark if you haven't. Over these next 2 weeks, we're looking and reading through Hebrews 11 as a church. You see God working out his plans through the story of the whole Bible. God's the one whose purposes are sure. He knows what he's doing. I find that hugely releasing. So just remember as we stand here today, okay, he's going to do it. God will do it. God will do his plans. He will save the world, and he will come back one day, because I'm not just reading Hebrews at the moment, I'm also reading Revelation, and I've known how it ends. You can turn there, and you can see how it ends. It's not in doubt, anyone. It's sure. God is working out his perfect plans, and they are without doubt going to happen. In fact, it's not just releasing. It doesn't just mean that you can actually have a day off. Do you know that? You can have a day off. It doesn't all depend on you. It's releasing, isn't it? Because God is working his purposes out. And it doesn't just releasing. I find it almost kind of gives me goosebumps. It's like have anyone seen The Longest Day? Go on, man. Who's seen The Longest Day? Great war film with... Guys, if you haven't watched The Longest Day, find 3 hours on your day off sometime when the kids and the family aren't around. And it's a black and white. It's got all the legends in it. And there's a scene in it where the two guys, two just ordinary soldiers, are caught in this huge armada of fleet of vehicles and aeroplanes that are going to be part of this D-Day invasion. And these guys just feel so small, and they just look at the size of it, and they're talking about all that's going to happen that day, and they say, you know, it just gives me goosebumps to be a part of it. Part of something that large and massive that you think, how could this fail? We are part of something that large and that big. God working out his purposes. He is going to do it. It will come through. And so the next point, if you and I want to move on with purpose, we've got to get this first, that God's purposes always come through. And then we can get this next bit, that you and I can join him. You and I. Me. You. Mary. Wynn. Isn't that amazing? You and I can be a part of God's purposes. Dave and Peter. You and I can be a part of God's amazing purposes that are going to definitely come through. So will you say that with me? In faith, because that's what we're doing today, we're living by faith, I can be a part of God's purposes. I can. You can be a part of God's purposes. We can join him in what is guaranteed to come off, to come through. Not something that's going to be frustrated or you know, jeopardized by an illness or by a sickness or by death or by someone else wanting to get their way. No ruler, no law, no nothing can get in the way of God's purposes coming through. And you and I get to join it. Hey, now I'm ready to move on with purpose. But hang on a minute. If we're going to join his purposes to save the world's purposes revealed in Scripture, we've got to first do something. We've got to repent. You know what repent means? Repent means when I'm going this way, pursuing my own purposes, right? I'm going to build my nice house. I'm going to make myself happy. I'm going to do everything like the world does. Hang on a minute. That's not maybe God's purposes. So if I want to join God in his purposes, I don't say, God, come and bless me in my purposes, God. Come and, you know, make my barns get bigger and everything like that. No, that's not what I have to repent. I have to turn around and say, God, hang on a minute. I'm sorry. I'm coming back. I want to get on board with your purposes. I repent of going my way, God. I want to come and get on board with your purposes. I surrender my plans. I surrender my time. I surrender even my family. I surrender everything, God, to you. And I say, what I want to do, Lord, is not be successful. You're the successful one, Lord. I'm happy to be your servant, Lord. I want to come and do what you want me to do. I repent. And this passage says that one of God's purposes, look in verse 47, is that repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you might have thought, well, let's get straight to that. That's our purpose. But hang on a minute. We're not going to do that purpose if we haven't first ourselves repented. If we haven't first ourselves turned from sin, turned from the things that are going to dishonor God and come back to him. And so I want to pause and do what this passage says and proclaim and say, repent! I'm looking around. I can see faces. But God sees your heart. God saw your last night. God saw your last week. He knows what's going on in your lives. And he is calling you through his scriptures, through his word, through Jesus, whose message was to calling people, said, repent and turn to God. He's saying, repent. From that bitterness that's beginning to get root in your life, turn from it. From that lie that you've been telling or planning to tell, repent. Don't tell it. Stop it. Be honest. From that greed, that lust, from those fears, from that preoccupation with yourself, repent. Repent. And this is the wonderful thing that Peter declared in Acts. We're going to look at this in a few weeks' time. He said, repent therefore and turn to God that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. You wouldn't believe what joy comes from just repenting and turning to God. Just simply, like the prodigal son. If you were listening to Radio 2 this morning, someone was getting asked what was their favorite story in the Bible. They said the prodigal son, the sense of this son who'd wandered far off and just thinks, what on earth am I doing here in this pigsty, you know, with my heart all in this place? My father's rich. Your father in heaven is wonderful. His plans are good for you and purposes. Come back to him. And what you do is you turn around, you find he's running after you. He's coming. There's forgiveness. So that's the first thing. Repent, but then receive. Receive forgiveness. And sometimes we struggle to receive forgiveness, don't we? You and I, if you're like me, someone You know, you do something, you know God's not pleased with it, you're not pleased with it, and you think, man, and you kind of carry it around with you. And what's worse is this enemy kind of starts whispering, you know, David, you're so rubbish. David, you know, you're terrible. You can never be a proper Christian. Do you ever hear that? You never be a proper Christian. Never be really used by God if you're like that, David. You know, you know, you watch some television. Oh, no, you can never be used by God. You didn't speak to 25 people for me last month. That is just awful. And the enemy's whispering, and you didn't read your Bible for a whole hour, only 30 minutes, David? That is terrible. And he's whispering in my ear, bringing me down, accusing me. All the time. And God says, repent. And I say, yeah, I want to repent. God, I'm coming back to you. And as I do, he's saying, I forgive you, full, complete. And the enemy's there saying, not really full, complete. You're still rubbish, David. You hear that? Still rubbish. And I come and I say, no, I'm forgiven, full, complete, free. And I'm not going to live a kind of, you know, a half-hearted little walk with the Lord, which feels like, you know, in faith, I haven't really received full from him. No, I'm going to receive full forgiveness. Bounce back in my walk with God. So bouncy that actually no one can really get hold of what's going on in my life. And today, if nothing else, if you said, I'm turning back to God, I'm going to receive his forgiveness, complete, washed. You know, again, have a look at the snow. It's white, isn't it? You know how it comes down? And Jesus says about our snow being, our lives being washed as white as snow. I always find it, you know, interesting he wrote that in the Middle East where it hardly ever snows except on the mountains. But we know what snow's like, and it does. It comes down white. It comes down white. God can wash your life so complete of every stain, every dot. You know, he said, though your sins are like scarlet in Isaiah, they can be as white as snow. Now, I speak as a sinner to sinners, so this is a pretty relevant message. Whatever sins in your life, if you turn from it and come back to God, he will wash you white as snow. Not just for a moment, but complete. As you come and receive Christ as your Savior, as Spurgeon puts it so wonderfully. I love Spurgeon. We used to say he once preached at Holland Road about 100 years ago. He was a great Baptist minister. We can't say that he preached in this pulpit because I don't think he did here. But this is what he said about you know, the forgiveness of sins. What a blessed subject is this, to preach the full pardon of sins, that it is blotted out once for all, the free pardon of sin, that God forgives voluntarily by his own grace, free forgiveness for the very chief of sinners for all their sins. Don't you be sitting there thinking, well, he couldn't forgive me. He can forgive you completely. Receive it this morning. And come back in line then with those glorious purposes of God. Yourself, come and say, yeah, God, I'm signing up for you. I'm saying I'm going to work with you. And now then, we come back to Luke 24. Luke 24, verse 47. Open it up with me. You got it there. We've repented. We ourselves have received forgiveness. So then we're ready to be part of what he's going to do in verse 47. And repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Repentance and forgiveness not might be preached if those guys at Holland Road can get round to bothering to do it. No. Repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached, because ultimately it doesn't depend on us. It's not about us. It's about him working out his purposes. And as we repent and we receive his forgiveness, then we say, okay, God, I'm going to work with you in what you're definitely doing, saving people in Brighton and Hove. God is doing that. God is saving people in Brighton and Hove. Do you and I want to be a part of it? I want to be a part of it. Can I see some nods if you want to be a part of this? Of what God is doing in saving people in Brighton and Hove. Now, as I think, if I was just going to start with that verse and say, well, that's what I need to do as my purpose, and I go out there and I think, how do I preach repentance and forgiveness of sins? And how can I save anyone? See, That's the wrong place to start. Whereas if I go out and think, God, you're saving people in Brighton and Hove, you're calling people back to you, you're going to forgive them when they do, you're doing something that's eternal, that's lasting, then I can have confidence to say, okay, God, I'm going to go and challenge someone. And I did this week. Was speaking at a funeral, and as I was preparing this, I knew one of the things I needed to do at the funeral was to challenge some of those in the family who maybe have drifted from God or don't know God. Just challenge them, saying, you got to turn back. I was preaching on Psalm 23. I said, you got to turn back to the shepherd. He's calling for you. He'll receive you as you call back, but you've got to turn back to him. And you and I, in the same way, as we're with people and they open up their lives, and you know, people do sometimes, they joke about their sin, don't they? They say, oh man, you never guess what I did yesterday, isn't that awful, you know? And we need someone to say, that is awful, don't do that, turn. In fact, turn back, not just from that, but turn back towards God. Don't be afraid, if you heard Tim last Sunday evening, of challenging people, bringing actually a rebuke in love, because you love them enough to tell them, turn back to God. Turn back to God. So we need to be part then of this glorious purpose of proclaiming the gospel, the good news that as we repent, we receive forgiveness of sins. And we do that to all nations. Isn't that thrilling? And we know that as a church, that's part of what we're doing. We're not just looking to save a few people. We're actually looking at what God's doing to save the nations, all nations. But where does it begin? Where did it begin for them? Do you see? Look down on Luke 24. Beginning at Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem was where they were. So that was a sensible place for it to begin. Where are you and I? Hove. Most definitely Hove now. We've moved a little bit away from Brighton, I think. But it's the Brighton Hove. This is where we are. And this is where it begins for us. Even maybe here today. This is where it begins. This wonderful purposes of God to reach out with this message that as people turn back to God, God forgives them. But if you and I aren't feeling any joy about that, you can't, we're going to look at this tonight, you can't proclaim what you don't first prize. If this thing about turning to God and receiving forgiveness, that doesn't, if you've never really done that, or maybe you've done it and you think, well, that looked good, that did. You know, I'm forgiven. Life's still a challenge. If you don't think, I'm forgiven, I get eternity with God, I'm back in line with his purposes, you're not going to want to proclaim that to others. You first got to prize it, and then it will proclaim it. It will just come out of you. Do you see verse 41? We didn't dwell on this when we were looking at Jesus' resurrection, but let's just pause here right now. And while they did not believe it because of, what are those two words? Joy and amazement. He asked them, do you have anything to eat? There was something, they were kind of like, God, what are you doing? This is amazing. But there was such joy in them. Do you know the joy of having received, having repented and received, the joy that then moves you out to reach out? Because that's where they were motivated from joy of having received forgiveness themselves. Joy of knowing that God was their Savior. They moved out in power, and it was wonderful. Let's reach out. Let's reach out to Brighton and Hove. Let's invite people to the quiz night. It's a great opportunity. Yeah, they see you're normal. They not only hope to see you're normal, they see your friends are kind of quite cool people who actually have got the joy of the Lord in their lives. So don't be looking grumpy at the quiz night. But yeah, get a team. Come on board. You know, and when we talk about Hope 08, let's get out there at the end of July, 21st to the 26th, and let's be reaching out with this wonderful message of love. God saves people. In your small groups, you know, invite people who don't know God to your small group. You can do that, you know. Just say, do you want to come along, a group of friends, meet. We look at what God's doing in the world. All right, that sounds interesting. Have them come along. And let's be those that are reaching out in our day in this place. Also, not just in Brighton, but to all nations. God's put the nation of Wales on our heart as a church for many years. Many in this church. Who's ever been to Wales on any kind of mission outreach? Just have a look around. Just if you're at the front particularly, just have a look around. All these five guys have been on mission to Wales at some point or other. And in fact, recently I was with some Welsh leaders at a kind of summit to pray and to think about how we can keep reaching out to Wales with our partners in the US as well, with the guys at New Hope, Reese and Louise, and also with John Avant, who used to be at New Hope, who's now gone on to another church. He's also wanting to have a heart for Wales and for what God's doing. So we start this summit at a kind of at the front of the church, and we're kneeling there praying and saying, God, please save Wales. And Andy Pitt, who some of you will know, he's preached at Bacon Road a number of times. Andy Pitt's the minister, the pastor at Park Baptist Church. He's weeping for Wales. He's saying, Lord, please save Wales. Save the teenagers who are committing suicide. You've probably heard in the news about Bridge End, where 17 young people have committed suicide over the past year. It's gone up from 2, which it usually is annually. But in Merthyr Tydfil, where we tend to be going and minister, average suicide last year, the year before, is 12 or 13. 12 or 13. Young people just saying, what's the purpose in life? I'm just going to take it. And you and I have the opportunity to get in there and say, look, by our actions, we're showing God loves you. And here's the message. If you turn to God, he forgives you and you can join him in his glorious purposes. God's moved in Wales as people have prayed and as they've cried out to God and gone and done it. God's moved in this country before in marvelous ways as people have sought him and moved on with him. But not for their purposes, for his purposes. You and I, in this city, in Wales, in the nations. It's great to think of that team. Philip, Gary, Jen, Annie, in Ethiopia right now, seeking to do this, to bring that message and encourage others who are bringing that message. They're also meeting up with a bunch of people who are doing outreach to Somali. Somalia is one of the biggest messes in the world. People 99.999% Muslim. There's a few Somali believers. Philip's gone to draw alongside and encourage them. How can they keep reaching out so that this message to all nations? But you might be sitting there and thinking, what, me? Be caught up really in God's amazing purposes to save the world? Me? You know, I'm 72 already. How can God use me? You know, or me? I've got 2 little children. How can God use me? Or you should see my diary. I've got no space next week for anything, let alone to sovereignly help God work out his amazing purposes. Surely God can get on fine without me. No, no, no. God is calling you this morning to join him in his purposes. Wendy, Chris, Molly, Dave, and Anne. Charles, Nancy. God's calling you to join him in his eternal purposes and say, this is what I want you to be giving your life to, what I gave my life to. The saving of people. Now, you can do that in your jobs. You can do that on your day off and the times you're having meals with people. You can do that in your neighbors. You can do that in all different places. But we must do it. We must in our hearts say, what we're about, if someone was asked this, I'm about trying to help God work out his purposes in this world to save people and bring glory to him. That's what I'm about. That's my aim, my purpose, and we do that by building one another up, by going out. But this is not what we're not about trying to do services. It's not what the church is about. No, we're about trying to reach out in the wonderful purposes of God. But you might be thinking, how can I do that? How can I do that? And the disciples weren't to do it in their own strength. Look down again at verse 49, just as we end. Jesus says, I am going to send you what my Father has promised. Stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. God says, I am going to send you the promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit. What a great Trinitarian verse. If you ever have someone who says to you, well, where's the Trinity in the Bible? Just point to this verse. Say, there we go. Jesus is speaking about the Father who's going to send the Spirit. There in the verse. And that Spirit is the one who comes and draws alongside us for this supernatural work. You know the problem with us having purposes of our own that we're trying to just achieve in our own strength is that They're not supernatural. Saving the world from sin and death to eternal life with God, that's a supernatural purpose. For that end, we're going to need the Spirit of God within us. In fact, we can't do it without the Spirit of God. And so the disciples are told, don't even get on with it until you first receive the Spirit. Just wait. It's that important. Far better to wait and receive the Spirit than just try and get on with it in your own strength, because you can't. I can't. But the wonderful thing for us is we don't have to wait 40 days. God's Spirit has been poured out. We're going to see that in a few weeks' time. Many here already know what it is to have received God's Spirit. You know that God is in you, living in you, and He will work through you to help you do this. But don't do it in your own strength. Look for Him. Look for His promptings. This passage is wonderful because it points us to the Word, points us to the Spirit. We've got to be people of Word and Spirit holding those two things together as we reach out. And the Spirit will help you if you're trying to do God's purposes. So here's this wonderful last point I want us to read all together. I am empowered to do God's purposes. Let's read them all three together. God's purposes always come through. I can be a part of God's purposes. I am empowered to do God's purposes. Ditch your purposes unless they're God's purposes. Just say, those are things I'm kind of doing on the side. I'll get around to, you know, never. But God's purposes, that's what I want to work in. God's purposes are for love. God's purposes won't wreck your family. God's purposes will bless your family. God's purposes won't mean you less able to do your work in a way that honors God. I need to have words with Neil about going on strike and not going to do his teaching thing. God will actually wonderfully come and enable you to do your work in a way that honors God, because the Spirit of God will come within you. God is working. Do you want to move on with purpose and not get frustrated because someone else comes in and cuts you up or works against you? Get on board with what He's doing. Only way, only sure way to move on with purpose, let's get on board with what Jesus is doing. Because what He's doing will last. A whole bunch of people stood at the end of last service, said, yeah, we want to move on with Jesus. Well, as a church then, let's move on with God's purposes. His purpose is for us to reach out into our community, to make fully committed followers of Jesus Christ in this church and in worldwide mission. That's what I want to do with my life. I hope you do too. Should we bow our heads and pray? What's your purpose in life? How would you have answered that person on the street who came before you with a microphone? What are you giving your best energies and efforts to? Are you getting frustrated? Things not going your way? Things being costly and you're wondering, is it worth this cost? Will this even work? Well, if you're trying to do things in your own strength and do your own purposes, it's probably why you're feeling like that. Jesus, come to Him. Look at Him. Come back. In your heart right now, just turn back to Him. Just fully, from everything else, all the secondary things, turn to Him. As you do, receive. Say, Jesus, I receive your forgiveness. Want that bounce back, Lord? the bounce back into my walk with you. Hear him bring you joy. Let him bring you peace. And then just in the quietness, say, okay, God, what do you want me to do? Here's my life. What are you up to, God? Give me eyes to see it. Sometimes I can hear just that voice of Jesus echoing through the scriptures, calling his disciples, come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Let's go fish. Not for living fish to make them dead, but for dead people, dead in their sins, to make them alive in Jesus Christ. Let's go do that. Let's do that here in Brighton. Let's do that in Wales. Let's do that in Somalia. Let's do that together with our God who's working out his glorious purposes. Lord Jesus, I want to do that with you. Thank you that your purposes always come through. Hallelujah. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.